Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is DJ Vengeance from Midlands Metalheads Radio. Sat here, well, he's somewhere far away, perhaps in Middle Earth.
Yeah.
Hansi Kirsch from the legendary, you're not a prog metal, you're a power metal band, Blind Guardian. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be here.
And a pleasure to be talking to you, sir. Oh, I'm currently hero worshipping. So how did you guys as Blind Guardian and as Hansi himself get started in music then?
I've been a fan of music in general from my childhood on. And when I listened to an album called 24 Karat Purple, I was so blown away that I decided to become a disciple of heavy metal and hard rock. And later on, when I listened to the album Number of the Beast of Iron Maiden, I decided that I would become a musician myself. And from that day on, I started practicing guitar. A few years later, I met Andre in school, and we decided to found a band together, which later on turned into Blind Guardian. Actually, that's all. We, you know, were so dedicated to the music, and we were so passionate by the mission we feel we have, that we short after got our first record deal.
That's really cool. So obviously, you're mainly known as a vocalist for Blind Guardian, but I don't know how many people know this. Probably quite a few. You're a bass guitarist as well.
Yeah, that's how I started for Blind Guardian and the bands I played in before. I used to be a bassist, and I love to play the bass. But when things became more progressive in Blind Guardian, I just felt that it was too difficult for me to do both the singing and the bass playing. Mm. And at that point, I enjoyed singing far more than playing the bass, and therefore I gave up the bass and decided that from that point on we needed a guest musician in the band whenever there was a need for recording or a live situation. And since the music became more and more complex, it was no option for me to just play the bass in the studio and then have a guest musician doing the bass on stage. I just said, well, I give it up completely, because the structures for the vocals as well, they became a little more diverse and complicated. Mm. So I kept my whole focus on that, and that was the point when I stopped bass playing.
Do you still play it now, or have you literally just stopped?
Yeah, I stopped. I play acoustic guitar still, and when I do composing for Blind Guardian, I'm from time to time even take the bass. But usually I prefer to do my composing on acoustic guitar. Oh. Even though I'm not a really real good player, it's good enough for composing.
Fair enough. Obviously, you've mentioned Number of the Beast by Iron Maiden, fantastic album. What else drew you to metal in particular?
Back then, it was Metallica, obviously. When they delivered their speed metal and thrash metal orientated first albums, we were completely blown away. And this was a big influence on our first composings, of course. There were other bands like Halloween, for example. They were, you know, our German idols, and we liked the way they performed almost as powerful as Metallica, but on the other hand, were able to keep in this melodious approach. And this was, you know, the missing link we needed to, you know, have a sort of inspiration, which later on led us to our own definition of Blind Guardian music and of our style.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I mean, obviously everyone quotes Metallica as, you've got your big three, big four of metal.
I could say that even Slayer has had a big impact on us. I mean, the way they defined their style was, you know, quite impressive for us. But the music itself was obviously not as important in terms of Blind Guardian than Metallica or Halloween or Iron Maiden. But yeah, there are some bands you will have to mention, especially when you grew up in the 80s. You know, there was no way ignoring these bands and consider yourself to be a metal fan.
Yeah.
There were other bands like Queenswyke or Fate's Warning or Savage Grace at the same time, which we also loved, and they had an impact on our style and on our early songwriting periods. But yeah, I mean, still, it's the big bands which, you know, have had the biggest impact.
That's cool. So was your family musical then, or were you the first musical person when you were growing up?
I was the one who has been really addicted to music. My parents, they did not really pay attention to any music. They enjoyed music, but they definitely did not consider themselves to be fans. And my veterans, they were sort of typical music consumers. My sister got me into rock music, so there was music in my family, but no one played an instrument, and I was actually the first one who had the wish to become a musician.
Fair enough. Were you a self-taught musician then, both singing, both vocally and bass, or did you get lessons?
I got a lot of lessons for the vocals, but that started to happen later on in the 90s when the music became more demanding and we were facing lots of concerts, and I just realized, oh, there's a sort of exhausting thing going on whenever you're on stage, you know, and if you have to do like 2, 3, or 4 shows in a row, then you just figure, well, I lack a little technique, and therefore I went to classical lessons over 10 years, but I have had never any lessons for the guitar or for the bass. I just did it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So what, for someone who's just starting out in music, myself for example, what sort of advice would you give to people in general?
Well, be confident with the music and try to be yourself. And, you know, even though you may have idols, as we have had, at a certain point, you need to define yourself, and you need to find a way to express or deliver something to people which makes you unique. And you should have faith in yourself, and it's worth trying. You know, if you have the right spirit and the right faith in yourself, then everything is possible. Don't let anyone tell you it's impossible. That's not true.
Oh, fair enough. So, before a concert and before a Blind Guardian gig, how do you warm your voice up, and how long does it take you normally?
It depends a little bit on the health condition. When we start a tour and I'm in good shape, I do a sort of 45 minutes warm up. I do have a tape with a lesson, so I run all the scales and start carefully with, you know, loose exercises, and then get to the more serious ones at the end of these 45 minutes. And then usually I'm warmed up for sure. But once, you know, the physical condition gets worse, then I do a lot more training, like probably 90 minutes, sometimes 120 minutes, to secure the remaining energy in the vocal cords. And well, the longer the tour is, the more demanding, obviously, both is the warm up and the show itself. But as long as you, or as I don't get sick, this is quality proven. This works.
Fair enough. So how
you have to breathe a lot. I mean, that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
I unfortunately like to talk a lot when we are on tour, especially because so many people on the bus are my friends, and
yeah.
This is something which I should basically not do. You know, the best thing would be, you know, just being calm and doing your show and then go to bed. But I'm not that type of person.
Yeah. So if that's your gigging warm up on a tour, what do you do when you're in a studio? Do you warm up for the same time?
Yeah, it's similar, but especially when I know which parts to sing, I train this particular reason, region. Sorry. For instance, if I'm in a good mood, I feel that usually fairly early during a day, and I need to do all the high-pitched stuff, then I'm going to exercise my voice into that direction. And again, there are many, many exercises which can be done, but you need to be confident how to do it. You know, it's not just, you know, singing, it's really training then, and you need to know how this works.
Fair enough. So what's Blind Guardian's plans for the future then? What are you guys doing? Because obviously you're coming to England at some point next year.
Yeah, that's a good thing. We start touring once the album Beyond the Red Mirror is going to be released, and that is the case here in the UK in the beginning of February. And short after, we hit the road. So from April on, we are going to play in Europe, and that will keep on going until the mid of June. And in the beginning of April, in the middle of April, we will also come to London to play a show. And if we can stick to the schedule we have at the moment, we would come back to the UK in November or December to play a few more shows.
That would be cool. I really want to see you guys.
It would be a blast. It really would be a blast, because so far we just played the Bloodstock festivals.
Yes,
and
you did.
We played in London. We have never played outside London apart from the Bloodstock festivals.
Would you ever like to, is there anywhere you'd like to play in the world, like anywhere that you've not played before, for example?
We've played a lot of places, but still, I mean, there's so much more to discover. Of course, some of the Middle East regions would be great if they could be included, but that's sometimes political difficult.
Mm.
Israel would be a place I would love to play. We played in Africa, we played all the continents, so basically, yeah, there are still places, but as I said, most of the territories we have scratched on the one or the other way.
Fair enough. So what's, of all these years of touring, what's the country that you think you really enjoy touring? Is it your homeland if you go back to Germany, or?
This differs from tour to tour. Of course, we enjoy touring in Japan a lot, because that's sort of, that was the first real culture shock I have got when we put that in the very early 90s, and we have been kind of mainstream success there, so it was almost like, you know, becoming the Beatles someone the other day, and this of course was overwhelming. Germany is always good, it's our major market for sure. Touring in North America is great. South America is crazy, it's insane, that's always a sort of adventure, because you never know what to expect. You have a great crowd of people, you know, sometimes louder than the PA system. And
that's always an achievement.
There are so many great places we have played. It's almost unfair to mention these few and leave off the other ones.
Fair enough. Okay, so along the same sort of lines, what's the favourite band that you've toured with, either as their support or supporting you?
We have not really supported anyone. We have had some co-headlining situations, but we prefer to go on tour as a headliner. The best bands we have had with us, that would be, from my point of view, Eisters. We have a very close friendship, and I love their music in general. And Nevermore has been another great band I really admire, because they constantly come up with good albums. It's sad that they split it, but I like the new Sanctuary album, so for me, the world is still fine.
Fair enough. As of interest, have you ever listened to Van Canto?
Yeah.
Just wondered what your opinions were on that sort of a cappella metal.
They recorded their first album in our studio.
Oh, really?
I was invited to join them. I actually sang one song for them, and they covered the Bath song. So there's a very close relationship, and back in 2010, they supported us on a good part of our European tour.
I was not aware of that.
They are great guys, and I like the idea that something totally outstanding.
Hmm. Because there's literally only a drum kit. That's what I really like about them. First time I watched them, I was like, what? Oh, okay. I don't know what your first opinion of them was.
Our producer, Charlie Barfind, he checked out their first demos, and he immediately fell in love with them and started his services for them. I was kind of confused, to be honest, when I listened to it on CD, because I thought that the idea was great.
Hmm.
But I would have loved to listen to just individual songs and no cover versions. That was my biggest issue there.
Fair enough. So if you've had so many lessons, then, going back to that sort of topic, have you ever taught music to others?
No. I'm not good at that.
Would you ever like to?
I enjoy life, you know, and I enjoy to be creative. But I think you need a certain skill to teach people, especially when it comes to vocals. I would be really, really careful, you know. That's one of the reasons why I went for a classical teacher, you know. That was a female opera singer.
Oh, wow.
And she worked with me for 10 years. And this obviously helped, you know. I'm still doing fine.
Fair enough. Okay, the final question then.
Okay.
How do you balance your touring studio lives with regular life?
Blind Guardian is a part of our regular life, so this does not make any bigger issues when it comes to family life. Of course, we have the privilege of owning our own studio, which means we take our time during productions. We don't have to haste through an album, which gives us time to spend with the family, on the other hand. So the 2 years we are at home and doing production and songwriting, everything is actually very nice. When we are on the road, our families have to suffer. They know that, but they accepted that from the very first beginning. There was, you know, no discussion in between the family members and the musician that, you know, he should give up what he's doing, because they accept, the families accept that this is a very important part of our life and a very important part of our personalities, and therefore they arrange themselves with the situation, and we have to arrange ourselves as well, because of course when I'm gone for more than 6 weeks, then it starts getting hard for everyone on the bus.
Fair enough. Well, thank you very much.
This
is DJ Vengeance from Midlands Metalheads Radio talking to the legendary Hansi Kirsch from Blind Guardian.
It's been fun. Thank you very much.